Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Drug Enforcement Administration has been cracking down recently on pharmacies that prescribe painkillers, including oxycodone, in an attempt to stop the illegal sale and distribution of those painkillers. An unintended side effect, it's now more difficult for legitimate patients who use prescription painkillers to function day to day to get the medications they need. Rachel Gottbaum filed this report, which comes to us from Kaiser Health News.
Aura Chaikin is a petite and fiery 67-year-old woman. When she greets me in her New York apartment, she is wearing a cast on her right leg. Chaikin has just had another surgery, this time to replace the bones that disintegrated in her foot due to rheumatoid arthritis and other autoimmune diseases.
There's inflammation, whether it's in the lining of the joints or inflammation of the blood vessels, and causes erosions of the bone and tendon destruction, which is what's going on now, which is very painful.
To control that pain, Chaikin takes high doses of narcotics. She's been on these powerful medications for many years. With them, she can function and lead a fairly normal life. But last year, her mail-order pharmacy owned by CVS started sending her letters. It would no longer honor her doctor's prescriptions for painkillers.
Every month, there seems to be a reason they will not give me my medication. Sometimes it's, you know, why are you taking this dose? My doctor prescribed it. Well, why did he prescribe so much? Ask my doctor. This is the dose that works for me. And you're made to feel like you're a drug addict. I think it comes in, you know, you are addicted to this.
Chaikin's spouse, Roseanne Leipzig, is a doctor, but she still cannot resolve her partner's problem.
It doesn't matter that I'm a doctor. It makes no difference whatsoever. They kept saying that it was way above maximum dose, and there is no maximum dose for narcotics. It's the dose that you need to take care of the pain.
Now, every month, Aura Chaikin is forced to ration her pain medications. She's gambling with her health, says Leipzig.
The disease itself for Aura is bad enough. The suffering that she goes through every month with trying to get the medications, and the fact that she decreases her dose every month, which increases the pain, is unconscionable.
Aura Chaikin may be an unintended victim of the escalating war on illegal drugs. Deaths from the abuse of prescription narcotics and from heroin are on the rise in much of the country. So the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration has been making it harder for doctors to prescribe painkillers such as OxyContin and oxycodone.
What we've seen is dramatic reductions in our ability to provide appropriate care for our patients in pain.
That's Sean Morrison. He's Aura Chaikin's doctor and director of the palliative care program at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York.
I have spoken to people, written letters, and they have come back and said, no, this is our quote-unquote policy, and we will not prescribe more than is based on our policy. And citing the literature, citing research, talking as an expert in palliative medicine to the various hierarchy, including the leading pharmacist, has not been effective.
Caremark, CVS's mail-order pharmacy, declined to speak to us on tape about Aura Chaikin's case. In a statement, Caremark says that Chaikin's narcotic prescription wasn't filled because it exceeded the dose recommended by the manufacturer. CVS and its competitor Walgreens have been targeted by the DEA in recent years and fined tens of millions of dollars for violating the Federal Controlled Substances Act. But the huge chain drugstores aren't the only ones getting more attention from federal law enforcement these days. Panama Pharmacy in Jacksonville, Florida, is a small independent operation that has been around for generations. It's owned by Bill Napier. He's been a pharmacist for 34 years. He says DEA agents took possession of all of his opioid prescriptions and held on to them for 7 months. They told him he was dispensing too many narcotics.
They showed me a number, and they said that if I wasn't closer to the state average, they would come back. So I got pretty close to the state average. There again, based on no science, but knowing that where the number needed to be, we had to dismiss some patients in order to get to that number.
Napier hired a lawyer and paid for criminal background checks on all of his customers taking painkillers. He needed to figure out which ones he could drop. He said he did that to satisfy the DEA.
We're being asked to act as quasi-law enforcement people, to ration medication, and I have no training in rationing of medications.
Florida was once considered the epicenter for the trafficking of prescription painkillers. But in recent years, the DEA and local law enforcement have shut down more than 250 so-called pill mills. These were clinics where people could line up to buy opioids for cash. Now, Florida doctors can no longer dispense narcotics directly to patients, and drug wholesalers are limiting the amount they sell to pharmacies.
120 people a day die of drug abuse in this country. If that doesn't get your attention, I don't think anything can.
That's Jack Riley, deputy administrator at the DEA.
I'm not a doctor. We do not practice medicine. We're not pharmacists. We don't get involved in that. But what we do do is make sure that the people that do have the licenses are as educated as possible and that they can make informed decisions as they do dispense.
Florida is one of a handful of states where the overdose rate from narcotics is declining. Riley credits the DEA and local law enforcement with this success. But he says, don't blame these efforts for claims that narcotics for legitimate patients are being rationed.
If there is some type of chilling effect, it's clearly not at our direction. We're simply enforcing the law and taking bad people off the street and really trying to interrupt the supply of illegal prescriptions.
Good afternoon. My name is Leslie Hilton Young, and I'm coming to you today as the wife, the caregiver of a chronic pain patient.
Recently, the Florida Board of Pharmacy heard testimony from patients, pharmacists, and doctors about the rationing of prescription painkillers. Leslie Young came from Jacksonville to testify on behalf of her husband. She told the board that she has driven more than 100 miles trying to find a pharmacy that would fill her husband's prescription for painkillers.
I've had to do the pharmacy crawl like many of us here. I've been the one that had to go in and beg, crying, with stacks of his medical records, with stacks of imaging, only to get turned away, oftentimes rudely, saying we don't deal with those kind of patients.
Young's husband, Chris, is wheelchair-bound and could not make the trip. 10 years ago, he was crushed underneath a car he was working on. His spine was squashed accordion style and left him almost completely paralyzed. He does have some sensation in his legs, but that's also where he has acute pain.
It feels like electric shocks, like lightning bolts going down my legs. It feels like someone's also driving a big metal spike up my legs, is what it feels like.
Chris Young says his pain often goes untreated because he cannot get his narcotics. When his prescriptions come due each month, he says his pharmacist has already run out.
They just do not have the medications because they have run out of their allocation for the month within the first week. It's just that bad to where I know I'm going to end up at the ER because I'm not having my medications. We don't know what to do. We've tried everything.
On August 10th, the Florida Board of Pharmacy plans to hold another public meeting to talk about better access of narcotics for legitimate pain patients. The DEA, which did not show up for the last meeting, has been invited to attend. For Here and Now, I'm Rachel Gottbaum.
And Rachel's story was produced in collaboration with Kaiser Health News. Well, now a quick note on one of the people who revolutionized coffee in this country and died over the weekend. Vincent Murata helped create Mr. Coffee, one of the first automatic drip coffee machines made for home kitchens. It was first sold in the early 70s. Its popularity driven in part by problems with the previous method of brewing home coffee. Here's Murata speaking with NPR's Linda Wertheimer in 2005.
Prior to Mr. Coffee, you know, the favorite way of drinking coffee was through the percolator. Perk up the stem, you know, and it would recycle the coffee and then over the grounds again and again and again. It was really an outmoded way of making coffee.
Mr. Coffee's success was also driven by popular TV ads featuring New York Yankees star Joe DiMaggio.
For the special people on your gift list, giving Mr. Coffee is the delicious way to say Merry Christmas. Everyone would love to have Mr. Coffee. It's America's number one coffee maker.
Vincent Murata, one of the people behind Mr. Coffee, died Saturday at his home outside Cleveland. He was 91 years old.